Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Well, good morning. It's a privilege and honor to be here this morning for this great special celebration. As a fellowship pastor, it's just good to hear what's going on in other churches as they call new pastors and being part of that. That's one thing that I'm thrilled to be here about. But another reason why I'm thrilled here to be about, this is my baby brother's former church where he was the pastor. But even more so, I'm thrilled here because you called a former pastor of mine, a former associate pastor of mine, who was your interim, to now be your lead pastor. And I'm just thrilled for Tyler. I'm thrilled for the church and someone whom I have loved dearly and seen him mature since he was in high school. It's hard to believe that. You've made a wise choice, Richview. Today, I give a charge to Pastor Tyler as he's been called to lead you. But I also give a charge to you, Richview Baptist Church. So my sermon is two parts, a charge to Tyler and a charge to Richview. So first, I'm going to give a charge to Tyler, and I'm looking right at him right now, so you can be encouraged by that. The interesting thing about you as a church, you know Tyler fairly well, so I don't really have to tell you much about him. But when he was intern with me and an associate, he would come into my office, he'd sit down, he'd have certain issues that are on his heart, on his mind. He'd say, "John, what do you think about these things?" And I'd give him a little lecture. Or sometimes I'd go into his office and I'd sit down with him and I'd even uninvited and I'd give him a little lecture, a little pep talk. And so I guess this morning, in a way, I'm letting you in on one of those little pep talks. Although I'm preaching to you all today, you as a church can listen in. And what I'm saying to Tyler today, you can remind him again in the future of what I've said to him. So I trust this will be a blessing. Tyler, we are living in strange times. This past year with COVID, it's been very strange. But we've seen a shift within our society, in our culture recently, that just seems to be exponential. We're seeing so much political fighting in our country, in the United States, and it's hard to keep things straight that way. Who's telling the truth? What's going on, and who do we trust? We're seeing people passionate about the whole Black Lives Matter movement and with protests, with riots, and with different things going on, and it's tough to understand all the different aspects about that. We've seen a shift with even the LGBTQ+ movement and some of the government laws that are coming in that are affecting us as a group of people, as churches, and we see the ongoing disintegration of the family. We're seeing medical assistance in dying and where people can take their lives if they don't feel like living. We can talk about the economy. We can talk about the world economy and the chaos going on with that. And it's confusing. It's scary. It's interesting times that we're living in. And you have been called to pastor Richview during these times. I want to remind you of this passage. In fact, I believe this passage has been preached to you before when you were at Fairview, but it applies to you in this situation. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Those of you at home, I'd encourage you to follow along. We're going to be in Timothy quite a bit this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. This is what it says. It's older Paul talking to younger Timothy, his younger protege, and he gives him some instructions as a young pastor. And I think these instructions are for believers, but also for pastors. This is what it says. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Before we go any further, let me just bow for prayer. Lord God, thank you for the way that your word teaches us and guides us. Thank you for this day that we can celebrate the way that you've called Tyler to be the pastor here at Richview. And I pray, Lord, that you guide my thoughts. I pray that you guide our thoughts as we look into your word. May we understand you better. May we understand what your word is teaching and apply it to our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Three main things, Tyler, that I want to point out about this passage. The first thing is, know who your boss is. Know who your boss is. The trouble with churches at times is some people forget who the boss is. Some people think that the regular member of the church is your boss. After all, if it wasn't for them voting in favor of you coming, you would not have a job here. And I want to let you know that I want to make church members happy. I want to care for church members. But they're not your boss. They're not your boss. Some pastors say, well, the elders board, they're my boss. After all, they're appointed to care for the church and also care for you. And they set your salary. They hold your job description. You're answerable to them on a more regular basis. And you do need to respect their authority and the position that they have. And they can cause issues for you if you go against what they're saying. But again, they're not your main boss either. The Apostle Paul tells us who the main boss is. In verse 1 it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. The one who has power. Notice he doesn't say, you know, Timothy, as the apostle, I give you this charge. No, he roots it in something higher here. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. And let's briefly be reminded, he basically says here, of who we're talking about. He was the one who will judge the living and the dead. Now, if you think about this for a minute, you and I, we can judge certain amounts of people, but there are so many people in this world, and it would take so long to judge so many people. But there's another problem with us judging others. We really don't have authority over certain people in this world. You and I don't have authority over certain people, but Jesus does. He has authority over our political leaders, Justin Trudeau. He has authority over the American political leaders, like the Bidens and the Trumps, the China leaders, the Jeff Bezos of this world, the Elon Musk of this world, the Austin Matthews of this world, the LeBron James of this world, the Taylor Swifts of this world, and we could go on and on. He will judge the living, and he is above the living, and he will also judge the dead. And that's something you and I will never have the authority to do. We've never conquered death. We can't judge the dead. And he has authority because he has conquered sin and he has conquered death. He is the Almighty One, the Righteous One, the one who has power over everything. In this passage, especially in our day, he will come back and he will establish his kingdom. That's what this passage says. He says, the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and kingdom, he's coming back to fully establish his kingdom, to set things right. And so he's the one with the greatest authority. So know that he is your boss. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's greater than anyone. And you're answerable to him as the pastor. You're answerable to him as a husband. You're answerable to him as a father. So stand in awe of him. Live in awe of him. Do ministry in awe of him. Know your boss. The second thing is, we can get from this passage is, know your job. Know your job. In verse 2, it says this. It says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. says, know your job. Preach the word. That's the main thrust of this passage here. Preach the word. Tyler, as your main task as the pastor here is to preach the word, to proclaim it loudly. Now, Paul uses in other places the word pastor, teacher, elder, shepherd. Pastor, shepherd, overseer. He's the leader of the church. Shepherd. You're supposed to lead and you're supposed to feed. You're called to lead this church, and you're also called to feed the church and feed the church on the word of God. And your job is to make God's word apply to the people in your church, in their lives. And you know what? You can find so much information out there. So many interesting, fun topics to talk about. So many theories to go chase after. So many adventures to follow after. Even so much end time speculation that's out there. But that's not your job to preach those things. It's your job to preach the word. Stick to this. Stick to this. As a good Baptist, the main kingpin of our churches is the word of God. You know, people can disagree about your opinion. People can disagree about your ideas. People can even disagree about your thoughts. But the one thing that you and the church need to rally around is the word of God. Come back to this time and time again. Preach it. Share it loudly. That's what preaching means. Not necessarily with your voice sometimes, in your actions, but in all aspects of the church life. Live it out. Make it applicable. It says, be prepared in season, which is Sunday mornings. Be prepared Sunday mornings, but also be prepared out of seasons. When somebody pops by your office and has a need, you need to take them to the word. What does God's word say about the struggle you're going through right now? But there's also a time to use the word to correct, to rebuke, and to encourage. And in Timothy's days, there were times to do that. In our day, I think there are even more times to do that. No more than ever does God's word apply to our lives in this crazy, messed up world. There's such a great need in this world for the word of God to speak to people. And people don't even know it. And so, Tyler, your job is to tell people the word. At times correct, at times rebuke, at times encourage. I must admit, I don't enjoy the job of correcting and rebuking. I don't enjoy that. It's no fun, but it's a job that we're called to do. Pastor John Ortberg, he says this. He says, imagine picking up your car from the shop after a routine tune-up, and the technician says, the car is in great shape. Clearly, you have an automotive genius to take care of that car. And you take the car home, and your brakes don't work later that day. And you find out your brakes are out of fluid, and you could have died. And you go back to the shop, and you say, why didn't you tell me? And the technician replies, well, I didn't want you to feel bad. Plus, to be honest, I was afraid that you might get upset with me. I want this to be a safe place for customers to feel love and acceptance. I think you'd be furious. You'd say, I didn't come here for a little fantasy-based ego boost. When it comes to my car, I want the truth. Or imagine you go to the doctor's office for a checkup, and the doctor says to you, you are a magnificent specimen. You have the body of an Olympian. You are to be congratulated. And later that day, while climbing the stairs, your heart gives out. And later, you find out that your arteries are so clogged that you were like one jelly donut away from the Grim Reaper. And you go to your doctor and you say, why didn't you tell me? And the doctor says, well, I knew your body was in worse shape than the Pillsbury Doughboy, but if I tell people stuff like that, they get offended. It's bad for business. They don't come back. I want this to be a safe place where you feel loved and accepted. Again, you'd be furious. You'd say to the doctor, when it comes to my body, I want the truth. And obviously, when something matters to us, we don't want an illusionary comfort based on pain and avoidance. We want the truth. And there's a time to rebuke, and there's a time to correct with the word of God. And Tyler, your job is to preach the word, and sometimes it doesn't feel good. And sometimes it does feel good to encourage people. Be creative in your preaching and teaching. Make it relatable It's the living word of God. And then thirdly to you, Tyler, you need to remember that there's chaos out there. Chaos, in fact, is here. Verse 3 and 4, it says this, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships, do the work of the evangelist, discharge the duties of your ministry." I think this world is chaotic more than ever. And it's tough to minister in this world. And you are the voice to probably the people out there once a week, unfortunately. People get a steady diet of radio, of TV, of the media, of school, of YouTube, of TikTok and other information, Facebook, you name it. And it's tough to be a voice in all that competition. People aren't putting up with sound doctrine. So many are listening to the loudest voice, the most charismatic, flashy videos that are out there. And sadly, we can't compete with that. We can't. And people are being led away by teaching for their itching ears that seems so attractive out there. It's such a challenge. Tyler, people disappoint. Some people get sucked away from by the pleasures of this world. Some people get trapped in temptations that sucks the spiritual life out of them. Some get sucked into conspiracy theories and myths. And I'm seeing that more than ever. And the media is so great at polluting the mind and the soul. And it says, "But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships, do the work of the evangelist, discharge the duties of your ministry." Keeping on with God is tough, but it's the best place to be. Keeping on with God can be tough, but it's the best place to be. My heart was broken last month when I heard the awful sins that Ravi Zacharias was discovered doing. How does someone get there? I've been saddened and upset by the behavior of other celebrity pastors, Bill Hybels and James McDonald and Phil Driscoll and high-platform ministry personalities that came crashing down because of sin in their lives. It's a warning to all of us. It's a warning to pastors, Tyler. And Tyler, I want to remind you, these people were gifted. And you're gifted. But these people, as they went along, wouldn't allow the closest people in their lives to question the little dark corners of their lives. Tyler, make sure Laura questions you about anything in your life. Your staff should be able to question you about anything in your life. Your board, you need to be vulnerable to them, and I think you are. Ministry can burn you out. It burns people out. And sometimes you need to take a break and share that with your board. Share that with your wife. Sometimes you need to take a break from ministry. Share your struggles with the ones you trust. And don't get hijacked by sin. Don't get hijacked by sin. Ministry's tough. Pastor John Holt says this. He says, "Ministry is giving when you feel like keeping. Praying for others when you need to be prayed for. Feeding others when your own soul is hungry. Living the truth before people even when you can't see results. Hurting with other people when your own hurt can't be spoken. Keeping your word even when it's not convenient. It's being faithful when your flesh wants to run away. And when you feel like quitting, remember your call. Remember the charge. Remember who's your boss. Remember the one who's going to judge the living and the dead. Do the work of the evangelist," this passage ends off with. And you want to be that neighborhood. You want to see this neighborhood one for Christ. But you can't do that on your own. The rest of the church needs to do their part to be the evangelist in this area too. Do that work. Do that work. So three things, Tyler. Know who your boss is. Know your job. And remember that chaos is here. And may God give you grace and strength to put these things into practice. Now I want to give a charge to the church. Church, In light of my brother Joe, I'd like to take you to the Old Testament right now and his favorite part of Scripture. And I'm going to encourage you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 6. Joshua 1, it's about a new leader starting. And it's very interesting what God told Joshua in this passage. Joshua was now a leader, and he has to fill big shoes. And God comes to him and talks to him. And this is what it says, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 6. It says this, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend to the desert, to Lebanon, and from the great river to the Euphrates and the Hittite countries, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them.'" Some great words given to Joshua. And Joshua's this new leader and has to fill big shoes. He's coming after Moses. And Moses was not just an average leader, he was a great leader. God allowed him to do the miraculous. He wrote the first four books of the Old Testament. He was able to turn the staff that he had into a snake. You remember that story. The 10 plagues, God allowed him to bring them on Egypt. The crossing of the Red Sea. The cloud by day and the fire by night. The water from the rock. The manna from heaven. The instructions on how to worship the true and living God. No one could fill Moses' shoes. And God comes to Joshua, and he states a fact here. And he says this, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Moses, my servant, is dead. That's a fact. Moses is no longer here to lead. Joshua, you have a challenge here to lead. And when it comes to pastors, they're at a church for a season. Pastors are at a church for a chapter in the book of the church. And pastors are not the church. They lead God's people for a season. And Moses led God's people for a season. In the past couple of years, Rich U has grieved the passing of two former pastors. Gordon Freeland and my brother Joe. Gordon led some huge changes when he was the pastor here, and I'm sure there were some great stories and things that had happened under his ministry. And when my brother was here, I'm sure you can remember some of the memorable sermons that he would give and some of the antics he would do to push people to do more evangelism within the community. Both these pastors had their great points. They were gifted ministers. But both these pastors also had their weak points. I know my brother. He had weak points. And they were God's servants here for a season. We can also talk about Daryl Dash. Mind you, Daryl Dash is still alive, still serving. He's down in downtown Toronto here. But it's easy to remember to the past. It's easy to look in the back and remember what went on. But you can't drive forward looking always at the rearview mirror. You can't drive forward looking at the rearview mirror. It's good to look in the rearview mirror, see what's behind you, but you want to move ahead. You want to move ahead. And Joshua was told that Moses, my servant, is dead. It's your turn, Joshua. I'm the same God that I was for Moses, and I have a new plan for you today. And I will be with you. And God allowed Joshua to take the land, something Moses wasn't able to do. Folks, Your pastor has different gifts and skills. He is not like any other pastor you ever had. And that's good. And that's good. And God has a plan to use him. In fact, God has been using him for the past 2 or so years as the interim role. And he is God's man for this job. I want you to pray for him. Let him lead you. You have done a pastoral search. You've done the search for a pastor. And just because Tyler was interim, he had no thought that he deserved to have this role. You have searched for this position. You've sought for the right person. And you've come to the conclusion that Tyler is the man at this time. And I'm praying that you would continue to encourage him on with that. And so it says this. God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people into inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." Be strong and courageous. As you move forward, be strong and courageous. Follow after your leader as he follows after God. I also want to take us back to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, that is. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. And again, there are just three brief things that I want to highlight here as we finish off. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. This is what it says. "The elders who direct the affairs of the church, well, are worthy of double honor, especially those who work as preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, 'Do not muzzle an ox while he is treading the grain,' and therefore the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain the accusations of an elder unless it's brought by 2 or 3 witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and do nothing out of favoritism." Just three things to highlight out of this passage here. First of all, it tells us that the preaching pastor has a special role in the church. The preaching pastor has a special role in the church. The thing I love about the New Testament is all of us stand equal before the cross. We're equal within the body of Christ. We're all called to be servants, and we all stand at the same level at the cross. We're also told that we're all priests. All believers can go to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to Tyler and say, "Hey, Tyler, pray on behalf of me to the Father." No, you can go to the Father on your own. And the other thing is, we all stand before God on our own, and we'll be answerable for the things that we do here on earth. You won't do that as a church body. You will do that as an individual. But God has gifted some people for preaching and teaching. And this passage tells us that they deserve double honor. I highly doubt Tyler will ever preach this passage to you. I know there's nothing about him that really thinks that he feels he deserves things. And he doesn't want to tell you that he needs to be treated with double honor. He thinks it's okay for you to call him Tyler. He even thinks if you even call him "Hey, you," he'll still answer to you. He does not seek the authority. And he does not feel he needs some sort of power trip. He wants to be a servant leader. I just know Tyler that way. But this passage tells us that he deserves double honor. He needs to be looked after. And I know Richview has treated their pastors well financially. And I commend you in doing that. And I would think that Richview will continue doing that with Tyler. But there's more aspects about this double honor. Keep in mind, Tyler is the one who thinks more about this church than probably anyone else here. He has prepared for this position of being the pastor more than pretty well anyone else here. He went to school to study. He has done internships. He has studied how a church should work. He's studied this church. He has studied the people in the church. He studies the community of this around this church. He probably has done that more than anyone else here. And Tyler has some good ideas. And he seeks the Lord as he thinks through these ideas and where the church should go and how the church should head in that direction. He wants input. He wants feedback. on how to do things better as a church. Honor him as he seeks to lead the church. He's young. He doesn't have 15 years of experience, but he's a student of the word. He's a student of people, and he wants to lead this church well for the glory of God. And so remember that God has given him a special role, and so you need to honor that. The passage goes on. It says in verse 19, it says, "Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that the others may take warning." Basically, watch what you listen to and what you say about your pastor. Watch what you listen to and what you say about the pastor. Do you want to know what the most challenging thing as a pastor? It's listening to grumbling people. Moses' big challenge in his ministry and as he is leading the people of God, it's the Israelites grumbling and grumbling and grumbling. And they didn't see the promised land because they grumbled so much. And studies show that only a few negative people in the church can cause a pastor to quit. You know, 95% of the church could say, "Hey, pastor, we love you. It's great. It's good. We love you so much." But there can be like 3 to 4 to 5 people in the church that say, "Yeah, pastor, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this." Rah, 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 rah. And those 5 people can send the pastor packing. The studies show that. And some of you feel your role in the church is more of a political role. To be the loyal opposition. We're the Queen's loyal opposition. No, there's no role for someone in the church like that. We're not political that way. Instead of listening and processing what's going on and where we're going as a church, it's criticize and resist. The attitude is, if it's about change, it must be wrong. And you can't lead a church that way. And so be careful. It says about your accusations. It says 2 or 3 witnesses. You don't take an accusation from one person. 2 or 3 witnesses. 3 people, 2 or 3 people have to see what's gone on if there's something bad that's going on. There's a reason for 2 or 3 witnesses, because sometimes one person makes up stories. Or someone sees life only through their hurt. And they're hurt by everybody, and they're hurt by their pastor. I've had people accuse me of hating them because on a Sunday morning I walked by them and they reached their hand out and I didn't see their hand and I didn't shake it. And they were upset and they talked to people throughout the week. "The pastor doesn't like me. He didn't shake my hand." I didn't see it. I'm thankful that there was someone who came alongside and said, "Yeah, grow up. Put that aside. He loves you. He didn't see it." I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I've had a person say that I don't listen or believe them after I've listened to them for hours. And they shared with me their issues, and it's an issue I just couldn't solve. Nobody could solve it. And they ended up getting a number of people rallied around them and saying, "The pastor doesn't care. The pastor doesn't listen. The pastor won't help me with my problems." No one could help them with their problems. Jesus couldn't even help them with their problems. But boy, the pastor was maligned by this person. Eventually, this person left the church, and the other people said, "Yeah, I guess nobody else could help them with their problems." There are some people like that. And too many people listen to their accusations, and they grumble, and they complain, and they go against the pastor because somebody's hurting. And the pastor tried to love and care, but people don't understand the rest of the story. I've had people post things online, on the internet, about the church and how they were hurt deeply by the leadership of the church. You know what? They were hurt. They were hurt deeply. But really, no one ever had a conversation with this person. But a number of church people came running to this person online and said, "Yeah, we're so sorry that the leadership hurt you," and consoling her for the lies that she's told up online. And folks, let's be honest. Satan wants to destroy Richview. Satan wants to destroy pastors. Through accusations, through hurt feelings, through wrong agendas, Satan gets an inroad. And he's the author of confusion. He is the great deceiver. And so often people think, well, Satan shows up in places like brothels and drug and alcohol-induced parties and biker gangs and other evil places. No, I'd say Satan doesn't even bother with those people because they're already given over to him. Satan tends to show up among God's people, creating confusion, working on those hurt feelings, causing miscommunications. That's where he shows up more time than ever. And he wants to cause damage the most among God's people. He wants to make rich few ineffective. Watch what you say. Watch what you listen to. When talking to your pastor, if there's something, a struggle that that he said or did, don't confront him on a Sunday morning before the message or even after the message. Give him a call. Say, can I talk to you, pastor, this week sometime? And when you confront your pastor, don't confront him by saying, I love you, pastor, but. No, just say, I'm struggling with this issue. Or don't say, people are saying. If people are saying it, you better have a list of who all the people are saying. Usually when people say people are saying, it's usually me, my friend, and my spouse. You know, no, if there's an issue, those things need to be addressed. Pastors love to hear, you know, pastor, I've been praying about this, and I've been wrestling with this with the Lord, and I feel I need to share with you this issue that's on my heart. Pastors love hearing that. You prayed about it. You wrestled with the Lord. Let's talk about it. Give your pastor the benefit of the doubt. Give Tyler the benefit of doubt. If it sounds outrageous, if it sounds out of character, it's probably not true. But make sure you clear things up. You're supposed to honor him doubly. And then the passage goes on. There's a time, it says in verse 20, but those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove them before everyone so others may take warning. There's time to deal with sin in leadership. And I pray that it never comes here. And I want to end with verse 21. Verse 21 says this. It says, I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and do nothing out of favoritism. When I gave Pastor Tyler the charge, I told him, remember who your boss is. Remember who your boss is. It's Christ Jesus. And Paul says this, he says, I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus. Again, I want to recall to you, who is your boss? Who is your leader? It's Jesus Christ. You're following after him. He's the head of the church. And Paul didn't say this because he's giving his own thoughts. Again, this is rooted in the things of God. And every one of us we're answerable to God. On judgment day, what will you say? What will you be known for doing in the church? I encouraged. I pursued God with passion. I followed after my leaders because they were following passionately after God. Richview, you're blessed. Love your Pastor Tyler. Love Laura. Love Asher. And I know you already do. And love the others who might come later in their family. But honor Tyler by praying for him. Honor him by encouraging him. Protect what comes out of your mouth. Protect what comes out of other people's mouths. Protect what you listen to in terms of grumbling within the church. God is watching. And I believe God has some great plans for Richview. It's my prayer as Tyler grows as your pastor. It's my prayer as Richview grows as a church. May he be magnified and glorified in everything. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you for the way that you bring people together. I thank you for the way that you raise up leaders. I thank you for the way that you've raised up Tyler to lead this church. Lord, I pray for your protection upon him. I pray that you would give him a vision for leadership of this church and the way that this church should go. And Lord, I pray for Richview that they would rally around your word and what your servant has to say here. Lord, bless them as they seek after you. And Lord, I pray for your great riches and blessing on this church, on Tyler's family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, John, for coming and preaching those insightful, important, wise words, both for Tyler and for the Richview congregation. And I have the responsibility now for praying what I'm calling a commissioning prayer or induction prayer that is both for Tyler and Laura and the family, but also for Richview. I'm going to invite Tyler and Laura and Asher to join me on the stage, and I think this is Asher's first time in the Richview building, so we particularly welcome Asher. And we're going to be praying for them, for Tyler, and for them as a family as they take on this responsibility. But also I'm going to be praying for you, Richview, as a congregation. This is about the joining together of pastor and congregation, pastor and flock. And if you were here physically, I would invite you to stand with me. And where you are in your living room or home, wherever, I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you're not able to stand, at least kind of extend your hands out as a symbol of joining in and participating in this prayer as we invite God's blessing. So would you join me in prayer now? Father God, these are sacred and holy moments as we join pastor and congregation. Father, Tyler and his family are already an intricate part of this family as they have served Richview over these past 2 years, and as we've had the joy and privilege of watching them grow and his experience his many gifts, and as we've been blessed by them as a family. But now they are taking on this responsibility of leadership in the life of Richview. And now we pray for your blessing upon Tyler, that you would fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the ways that you have gifted him. And we have experienced that already. And we just pray that you would anoint him with a fuller blessing as he continues to preach your word, as he continues to shepherd this flock, as he continues to guide and lead the Richview congregation, as he continues to be in team with the leaders of this church. And we pray for his marriage with Laura and their family, with Asher, for the important responsibilities that Tyler has as father and husband as well. And as he combines those roles together as a leader in the life of the church, give him great wisdom. Give him wisdom to lead well, to follow you well as he shepherds this flock. And Father, for the congregation of Richview, I pray that their hearts would be so open to the godly leadership that Tyler will bring. As they hear your word proclaimed, as they engage in conversation, as they plan together, as they together guide the direction of this church in mission to this world. These are challenging days. But Father, by your Spirit, there is no challenge too difficult, for you will lead and guide as together as shepherd and congregation, they follow you. So enable them to do that fully. And may your name, Father, may your name, Lord Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may your name be praised and proclaimed and honored. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Tyler, to you.
Yeah, I don't know what to say other than... I'm so thankful, Pastor John. Thanks, and This morning, I got to see so many of the ways that God's blessed me intersect. Family, this church, the teaching I've got, the family I've got, I'm incredibly blessed. And, when we named Asher, Asher means happy or blessed. And that's just how we feel and how I feel. And I'm just so thankful. So thank you to everyone who put this on this morning. And I'm so looking forward to what God has in store for me, for my family, and for Richview Church. So thank you all watching at home. Thank you all who are here. I love you. And praise God.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.